Welcome to the perfect triangle. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And now, the perfect triangle. Welcome to the perfect triangle. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And now, the perfect triangle.
I'm the United States.
And I'm Israel. With you behind me, I can do whatever I want.
Well, I want you.
Take me. No, this is wrong. We both have the same father, Satan.
I don't care.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Judeo-Christian false god.
throughout the world.
Fight him all, and save a nation, all me cool. face of disaster, we helped each other.
We built new communities in the ruins of the old. We adapted. We survived. Established a new normal. But there are also those who build nothing. Create nothing.
Hyenas preying on the weak. They've made our world bleed. But we don't stand alone. A brave few have sworn to protect us and save what remains.
They unite us.
Remind us that we are one people. They are our shield and our light. But if that light goes out,
who can save us then?
Wir wollen ein Volk sein. Und ihr, meine Jugend, soll dieses Volk nun lernen. Wir wollen einst keine Klassen und Stände mehr sehen. Wir wollen einst ein Reich sehen. Und ihr müsst euch schon dafür erziehen. Wir wollen, dass dieses Volk einst gehorsam ist. Und ihr müsst euch in dem Gehorsam üben. Wir wollen, dass dieses Volk ein Friedlieben und aber auch Hasser ist. Und ihr müsst friedfertig sein. Vor uns liegt Deutschland. In uns marschiert Deutschland. Und hinter uns kommt Deutschland. Deshalb friedfertig sein und mutig zugleich. Wir wollen, dass dieses Volk einst nicht verweichlicht wird, sondern dass es hart sein kann. Und ihr müsst euch in der Jugend dafür stehlen. Ihr müsst lernen, Gefährungen auf euch zu nehmen. Ohne jeweils zusammenzubrechen. Denn was wir auch heute schaffen und was wir tun, wir werden vergehen. Aber in euch wird Deutschland weiterleben. Und wenn von uns nichts mehr übrig sein wird, dann werden wir die Fahne, die wir einst aus dem Nichts hochgezogen haben, in euren Fäusten halten müssen.
I'm Jewish.
No, that's a bit of a problem.
Hmm.
You will read the Talmud. You will worship Saturn. You will be circumcised. You will suck baby dicks. Come on, Goy. Make your mind up, time. Come, be a Shabbos Goy. Huh? This is anti-Semitic. Oy vey.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, wake the fuck up. White Canada, wake the fuck up. White Europe, wake the fuck up. White Australia, wake the fuck up. White New Zealand, wake the fuck up. Hello, everyone. This is the Perfect Triangle number 232. It's April 18th, 2025. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo, and it's a good Friday for the few real Christians that are still practicing. Most are Judeo-Christians now, which means devil worship. But it's a great Friday for all of you watching now, because we're going to have a round table of compelling hosts with an international flavor. Zach Logos Revealed, Tonitris, originally from Spain, and Psychedrilla, the Rhodesian. So let's start with saying hello to Zach. Zach, hello, what's on your mind? Crazy week, especially when you consider all the shocking Negro violence we're witnessing coverage of, especially on Twitter.
Yeah, good afternoon, G. Although I wouldn't call the Negro violence shocking.
Well, that's a great point. Really a great point.
I think we're getting pretty used to it now. But I think it's good. I think as much as it physically sucks that they're doing this, I think there is this very important silver lining that our people are finally waking up to racialism. It's forced into their face now at this point.
Yeah,
if you're a white person and you're watching these blacks just condoning the killing of people, praising it, you know, pressing the killer himself up as a victim here, it's very hard now for a white person to look at this and some of, quite frankly, some of the shit the blacks are saying all over Twitter. It's hard to see that. And if you're not already racist, become fervently racist from seeing it.
Yeah, man. Especially when you witnessed that poor young man's father becoming such a literal faggot. I'm looking for the, if I have it here too, I don't see it right now. I'll just switch back. But you probably saw that where he's like, I don't want this to be a race thing. What the hell's wrong with you? It's completely a race thing. So yeah, it's sad. People like that. Do you want to comment, Zach, or should I move on?
Yeah, sure. I didn't know if you were going to move on. Yeah, no, I'll add to it. You know, again, he needs to recognize that this is absolutely racial. You know, the fact that all of these blacks, and I think he went to this hearing for the Carmelo.
Right, that's right. He was sitting in the back, and the chimp lawyer chimped out that he was there. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that alone should show him what we're dealing with. And I hope he figures it out, you know, because if he pushes a racial message, that could be pretty large for us, for him to start saying, you know what, at first I wanted to be all, you know, diverse and fair with everybody and give this kid the benefit of the doubt. But
yeah,
after seeing the reaction of all of these blacks, it's very clear that this absolutely is a racial issue.
Absolutely. So, Tanitris, isn't it ponderous to witness these blacks have such a cognitive dissonance that even when that young sub-Saharan violent groid obviously went on purpose to sit in that tent, went on purpose to create a conflict, brought the knife to use it, and yet his parents and the chimp pretend attorney, affirmative action attorney, are all, like Zach said moments ago, trying to paint this like the blacks are the victims. It's just insane. Your thoughts, Tanitris?
What are you guys talking about? He was a good boy. He didn't do nothing.
Okay,
he had good GPT, right? He had good grades, things like that. So, yeah, it's quite telling, right? Who in his right mind brings knife into a track meet and ventures into private hands? I think that it's pretty clear that his intent was to loot white people tents, and that's why he was ready to fight. He was ready to you know, stop anyone who would be in his way. And that's precisely the genetic difference, right? That they will always perceive this as self-defense because someone stood in the way of him doing whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. They don't have ability to feel for others, to understand the perspective of other people. It's kind of like with this meme of a breakfast, right? How would you mm-hmm. feel if you wouldn't eat breakfast today? But I ate breakfast, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're incapable of feeling for others. They don't have compassion. And the problem is that we have this universalist morality deeply installed into us. And even on our side, most of the people are not ready for this conversation. They think that being radical means using a lot of words and screaming and be really loud. That's not what radical means. Being radical means to dismantle this universalist fake morality and also dismantling the faith in the fake God that we had for so much, you know, for so long. Because we can clearly see that this is precisely the source of this suicidal mindset, right? That we observe that, you know, people are so quick to forgive that, oh, let the God handle this. You know, I'm not going to do anything. But this is precisely your task here on Earth. You have been put here as a child of God to protect the divine order. We have responsibility to fight for justice. We can't just be idle and assume that somehow the God will do everything for us, right? Or the savage will understand and will just, you know, feel sorry for what he have done. Because the savage, the way the savage operates is that he will do as much as he will allowed, as he will be allowed, right? And then that's a problem. I think that this needs to be the basis of any such discussion, dismantling of the fake morality.
That's a great point. Welcome, Psychedrilla. It's been a while since we had you on, and you're doing some phenomenal shows here on FTJ and the other platforms where you stream. So how are you? And if anybody knows the how letting Negro brutality unchecked, it would be a Rhodesian such as yourself. So what are your thoughts on this? Insane. I mean, there's another one we'll get to in a moment. Happened last week as well, Florida State. But first, I'd like to get your thoughts on what's going on with these violent chimp out subhuman sub-Saharans.
Right. Yeah. Well, that. Well, I've been thinking about this a lot actually, and it's right. Okay. Thank you for inviting me back to the show, by the way. I greatly appreciate it. I do kind of feel like I forced myself on last week when you came into.
No. I've been thinking about it honestly for a while to have right. start doing more of these. So not at all.
Right. So if we just look at this whole I can't remember the chimp's name and the Scottish fellow, but he's got a Scottish name, Metcalf. I think he's Scottish anyway. Right. So what happened yesterday? They had a press conference. The niggers did, yeah. So yeah. The Kaffirs. I'm going to be Rhodesian. We'll call them Kaffirs, like yeah. So these Kaffirs right. had a meeting, and you called the dad a cuck, yeah. You said that the dad's a cuck because he's gone. It's not a race thing. It's not a race thing, yeah. Now, the thing is, I have to look at all of this. We see this happen all the time over, especially over where you lot are, yeah? A nigger kills a white boy or kills a white girl, or a group of niggers kills a white girl, and the parents somehow always, it's been discussed many times by all you big brains, like that there is obviously, there's a group of people in there, there's a group of Jews who go around to the victim's family and say, and give them a script and go, whatever you do, don't blame the niggers, yeah? So I was expecting that to come anyway, yeah? So right. They're either made an offer they can't refuse, or there's got to be some kind of coercion. I don't even think that it's financial. It's got to be something that they hold over them, yeah? But what happened yesterday? This is, and I got this comment from I was watching the Kalergi twins, the American Kalergi twins, who had Dr. Duke on, like, yeah? I was watching what their take on it, yeah? And somebody in the comments went, have you noticed how the dad turned up to the conference and the press conference, and when he was asked to leave, he didn't stab anyone in the chest. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've noticed, and that's what I would like to focus on. The fact that the white man was the white man was the white man. Yeah. Now, there's video footage because cameras are everywhere and they're hiding it from us and they're letting the niggas say what they fucking like. Yeah. He was a good boy. Like Tonitrus said, oh, he's such a good boy. He learned how to read when he was 12 and everything. He's one of these high IQ niggas. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, yes, we all see this. We all know this. Yeah. But what's the solution? Well, the solution, yeah, which I think people are starting to come to now, because it's like people, the word racist is no longer a weapon anymore. It's more race aware. If anybody calls me racist, I'm like, yeah, thank you very much for noticing. I'm race aware, and people have become more race aware on a daily basis because of this bollocks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do we do as the people who are like on the front line of going, right, okay, well, more people are noticing, how do we provide a solution? Well, the solution is, and I say this all the time, we've got to start all over again. We've got to fucking start with grassroots, we have to have the homeschool, we have to have the private network, we need to take everything private. It's all very well and good having this public conversation, because the normies, those who are starting to notice, can find a place where they can actually have a comment without being censored. But what do we do now? What's the solution? Well, the solution is we're going to have our own, I haven't got kids, yeah, but what I would suggest, yeah, and I've suggested it, this is what we have to do. We have to go, like, what the fuck? What can we do? Well, I tell you what we can do, yeah, is we can go, right, okay, we're going to have our own, because guess what? We're less than 6% of the world's population, yeah, and falling, yeah?
Yes.
So we've got the biggest, out of all the whites, yeah, I've got the biggest minority card in the world, I'm a fucking retarded Rhodesian. I didn't even fucking make it to fight for my land. I was taken away as a child, yeah?
Sure.
So what we have to do is we have to lean into the fact that actually we're the global minority. Even if you're a nigger in my white nation claiming to be a minority, no, go home, nigger, you won't be a minority. If it's that terrible for you as a minority in our global white minority homeland, it's time for you to fuck off. But whilst you're still here, we can't fucking gather together. We've got the evidence. It's all out there, yeah? And we don't want it to be a race thing. So what we're going to do is, this is a traditional white thing, yeah? So when we are going to have competitions, track competitions, you need to have a whites-only meet, a whites-only entertainment network, a whites-only education network. And you can't do any of that publicly, because guess what? They'll shut you the fuck down. So what we have to do is, build, like I said, this is grassroots stuff. We have to really just rebuild all over again. And we have to do it in a subtle way. We have to do it in a way where, this is a suggestion I came up with in my stream yesterday. So you arrange to have private athletic, you can go and rent a venue, you can go and rent a sports hall, yeah, you just don't say it's whites only, but everybody knows it's whites only. You only invite people or children that are in your family network, in your traditional network, who are runners or shot putters or whatever athletics. But then what you do, you keep that private, but then at the end, after you've had the meeting, then what you do is you put in the papers all the winners of that meet. Oh, little Freddy, he came first, he won gold, and all of that, and just have all the names, but so you're actually going, we're having these competitions, but you're not saying when and where. It's a need to know basis, invite only basis. You have that right. If there's anywhere that has that right to start that shit off today, it's America. Yeah, not so easy in the UK. Yeah, but mind you, the good thing about the UK is good thing, bad thing. They admit that women are women yesterday, but that's a different subject. But
we're going to talk about that for sure. Yeah.
So that's my take on it. My take on it is everybody now has the right to look at fucking what happened to Metcalf, yeah, and go, we are not going to risk our children getting together where they shouldn't even worry about having knives in a fucking rucksack, mate. Yeah, no other white kids are turning up like that, yeah, because they're turning up with their tracksuit, they're turning up with their fucking javelin or whatever. They're not even throwing it at the niggers who deserve to have the javelins thrown at them. They're throwing them at fucking just down the field. You know what I mean? Yeah, so what we can do as family, but okay, it's not so easy. We're a minority. But as the minority, we have the opportunity to become the beginning of the network, to offer the venues to go, right, do you want to have your kids join an athletics meeting risk-free? Well, come and do it with us white folks. That's how I see it.
I think that's a very lucid point, and it's getting worse, because did you guys see, this is the international Jew wet dream. This was a shooting. There were two shootings in the last couple of days, both by young, unhinged, low impulse, low IQ Negroes, right? And this one is like the Jew wet dream, because listen to this dude filmed himself. He shot five students at Wilmer High School, Hutchins High School in Dallas. Listen to this guy. And the reason this is the Jew wet dream is because there's going to be so many whites who are like, oh, poor kid. It was how he was raised. That's bullshit. But listen to this insanity.
I love all my peoples, man. Nigga told me he was gonna kill me. All these niggas told me they was gonna kill me. Look what happened. I love my Aunt Sandra. I love the nigga behind this camera. I love Yana. I love my nieces and nephews. All of them. I want everybody to know I love them. People named that I didn't name, trust me, I love you. I can't think right now. But I love y'all. This is my last time fuck around be seeing y'all. Last time talking to y'all. Excuse my language. But I love y'all. I know I was wrong for what I did. But I didn't want to do it. But I had to do it. I'll be damned if one of us get buried again. I'm tired of us getting buried and nobody doing shit about it. My mama gone, my granny gone, everybody gone that I love. So I can't go. I'd rather y'all see me like this, locked up, than y'all see me dead in the ground. Real and shit. I know that's really what y'all, come on now. I know y'all don't want to see me dead. Come on now.
Hold on there, kill myself,
but I know that's not what y'all want me to do. So let's be for real, y'all. I love y'all. All right.
So can you believe that? I mean, the insanity of that young Negroid thinking that I don't want to do it, but I have to do it because we're getting buried. It's like, hold on. I got a little stat to put up before you answer, Zach. Let me get that. Where did I put it? Oh, I bet you it's here. Yep, it will be here. Okay, so here we go, right here. Let me bring this over here and expand it. Okay, here we go. So these are the actual statistics, percentages of what goes on year after year. Whites killing black, 2%. Police killing whites, 3%. Whites killing whites, 16% of all of murders. Blacks killing whites, 81% of all murders. Police killing blacks, 1%, which is amazing, the restraint police show. Blacks killing blacks, 97%. America has a problem, but it's not what the Jew media tells you, right? The problem is violent blacks, and we're talking murderously violent blacks, rapey blacks, and yet, well, whitey's the problem. Zach, this is just insane, and sadly, it's getting worse.
Yeah, you know, and again, in this video, this monkey here, you know, explaining his take on why he shot people.
Yeah,
it's very clear how tribal he is. You know, my people is being buried. My people be dying.
Great.
You know, much. This isn't an attitude that we need to start taking on. Now, I'm not saying that we start gang banging and. You know, chipping out about it, but we need to have this more tribalistic mindset and recognize that our people are actually dying right now, being exterminated in all of our lands. This isn't just an America thing. That's the worst part about this. You know, these blacks, they want to look at it like, oh, you know, they're being persecuted here in America, our homeland, right? Meanwhile, all of our countries globally are experiencing this from not only blacks, but Muslims, you know, you name it, from all these different places in the third world. Our people are being killed. They're being raped, pillaged. I mean, this is a very serious problem. And if it does not turn to racialism, which again, events like this, I think I've talked about this before on the show, but I talk about the martyr concept. And this is the mistake that the Jews always make, is they martyr somebody, right? They did this with Jesus Christ. They did this with Hitler. Right. And this is what makes people actually love that person through, like, eternal justice. And this is happening right now to this Austin fellow. Is he's being martyred. And,
yeah.
You know, as much as it's hard to lose one of our people like this, we have to harness the energy of that and take advantage of this situation to wake our people up to exactly what we're dealing with. And this is the same thing that the National Socialists did in Germany when they had a young boy die. His name is slipping my mind, Hans something. He died, and they made a physical song about this kid. They wrote a book about him. They made him like a staple of the movement, and they physically martyred him, and it strengthened all of the fighters for the cause. And this is something that we really have to harness here with this situation. We cannot let this one slide. Because this is very serious, and it's being blown everywhere, all over media. You know, even on the conservative side, they're even, you know, promoting this as a racial issue. So this is a huge time for us to really push this message.
Right, and let me show this before we turn it over to Tanitras for his thoughts. So this past week has been really a benchmark for the libtards can't hide this anymore. But look at this: there was a shooting at Florida State, and this Negroid, it filmed it. He just walked by. This girl's even either dying or dead. Doesn't even try to help. Drinking Starbucks there. He filmed. I mean, if that is subhuman behavior, I mean, I don't know, Tanitras. Again, this is the international Jew. They ran the slave trade. Then they flipped the script about 120 years ago, and suddenly they're championing black slave rights. And even when individuals for a long time, both black and white, dating back to Abraham Lincoln and Marcus Garvey on the black side, saying we got to get all the blacks back to Africa. They have to have self-determination. They were right. But every time that was addressed and should have been implemented, the Jew subverts it. And so now, I mean, I can't imagine any of you fellows, any listener, walking by a dead or dying woman and not at least seeing if she has a pulse, are calling 911, or but walk by as a black and you're drinking a Starbucks. Come on, your thoughts, Tanitras.
I don't want to do it, but I have to do it. A nigga gotta do what a nigga gotta do. Shit.
Right.
Well, it's just they don't help because they enjoy it, and that's the truth. You know, they want us. They want to see us suffer, they don't hide it because they don't have to. And you know, think about it. For instance, from the moral perspective of the institutionalized religion in the United States at the moment. So, if you go to a white only church, you'll have a completely different energy and completely different message than in the black church. In black church, they will promote, actually, their racial identity, right? They will spew this narrative of them being victim and the black man needs to stand up and take what this theirs, and, you know, all this bullshit narrative. While in white churches, you'll literally have pastors washing feet of some niggers on the scene. And we've seen that. It's not only Pope doing it. There are literally recordings of pastors of some of those mega churches doing that.
Of them
literally
doing
asking
today, yeah,
for a Negro from a scene to come over onto the stage and they, you know, wash it. And while they talk about, you know, the race relation issues and how white people need to realize the suffering of the blacks and all this kind of stuff. So we have two completely different narratives, and the blacks are being fed always this victimhood, right? That they are convinced that they are the victims. They are convinced that they need to fight for their people and things like that. Whereas our people are being conditioned right from the beginning, right from the very early age, that we need to feel sorry, we need to forgive, you know, we need to allow everyone to do whatever they want, and we can't say anything. So that's, I think, the fundamental problem of, you know, this whole thing. And, you know, even with images like this, there's still going to be so many conditioned white people that will just be blind to whatever is happening, right? They will just filter out the race out of it, right? They will just feel bad for the situation that, oh my God, there's a dead person lying and no one helped that person, but they will not see the race, right? They will not see the fact that the person who is dead is white and the person who's just walking by is black. They will not see that, unfortunately.
It's tragic, really. So it's interesting. This Sunday is Easter for the Christians, and it's also Adolf Hitler's birthday. So what a interesting time as far as everything we're going through. So Psychedrilla, I mean, it's getting worse. The Jew subversive message, which is especially potent through the social media that the blacks are all addicted to, right? They have nothing. They live like farm animals, but they've got their big TV. They got their gaming system. They got their smartphones it's just mind control and victim. I need reparations. Oh, Whitey is out to get me. When, as I pointed out, the statistics and showed them a moment ago, it's simply not the case. But what we have is just low IQ, weak-minded, mind-controlled apes by the Jew. I mean, and it's getting worse, Psychedrilla. Your thoughts?
Well, they're petulant children with guns. Petulant children, spoiled petulant children with guns who've never earned anything apart from the right to think that they are victims of some kind. Now, to take lessons from South Africa, any of the white folks who actually managed to have working nations in Africa, and it wasn't only the Rhodesians. The Portuguese had my memory's not as good, but you had Mozambique. I think that was Portuguese or further on up on the East Coast. We had a number, but the thing is, there was an understanding, even amongst the blacks themselves, yeah, that if you show any niggers compassion when they know they are taking the piss, you just go, oh well, you just, oh, I don't recognize race, oh, I wouldn't want to be called racist, and that those niggers will keep taking the piss, and that's what they've been doing for the whole time that they, ever since they fucking marched white children into school at the point of bayonets in America. Yeah, it's been like that ever since. Like they've had that entitlement. You guys took the piss out of us. And, no, we fucking didn't, mate. And 9 times out of 10, you were taking it, like the stats said 97% of these coons are killing each other, mate. Yeah, that's what's happening in Africa. It's never stopped. When we were in Rhodesia, when South Africa was a functioning state, they literally had to have that. You had to have white. Everybody had a card. Like, you had white. If you were white, you were white. If you were coloured, you were coloured. And coloured meant like fucking there was a touch of the tarbush in your family. You weren't. So there was an understanding that if your family had committed adultery, which is adulteration, adding lower ingredients into the fucking gene pool, yeah, you were less white, you were less fucking likely to be in control of your emotions, you were less likely to have the mindset of problem solving, of being able to fucking be patient enough to fucking talk to a white man, yeah. And the thing is that a lot of the niggers who aren't like that would congregate around the white towns, and we would give them, okay, you can live there, but there's going to be segregation. And like the niggers who were allowed to drink or were allowed, they used to have an alcohol license where they were rationed a certain amount of alcohol, because we understood the difference between us and them in Africa. And what is the Jew? The Jews fucking convinced us all that. Oh, you were so fucking racist in Africa. It was like, look what they're doing now. Look at what they're still doing now, man. You know what I mean? You took out Gaddafi, and that's the capital of the white slave market of the world now. Bunch of fuckers, yeah? So what do we do? So I was talking about, okay, how do we save our kids? Well, we create an alternative fucking athletics meet, alternative whites only this, whites only need that. But how do we deal with the situation that you just showed us now? Well, fucking hell, you had Dr. Lynch, didn't you, back in the day during the Civil War? Like, fucking, there's plenty of lampposts, there's plenty of fucking electrical cords, but you can't go from that to that. So this is, we've got to now really sort of like really go like, yeah, it's horrific. So like this is just like, right, if you've got white kids, if you've got a white daughter and you're even considering sending them to a college or university or even day school, mate, you're part of the fucking problem. And the thing is, it's in Europe, it's not so easy. They're clamping in France, mate. Like in France, you cannot homeschool your kids anymore. You cannot do that. So we've got to go fucking serious underground, mate. That's the only way. And like, of course, the Clintons are they're so easily controlled there. But so what we have to do is like we need to take control of the propaganda machine. We have to fucking really like lean into whatever they're calling us and go, yeah, and then like raise our kids to recognize that these coons are crazy fucking chimps, mate. You know what I mean? You have to fucking like, I've got a mate who's got a 10-year-old boy now, yeah, and like when he was eight, I first met him, right, yeah, and when I was eight I was biting my tongue, but now whenever I see him in that, yeah, I'm talking about these dangerous fucking blacks that are in our country that are coming in. I make sure that I talk about it vocally in front of the children without swearing, but like really just putting it in, because those kids, I can remember when I was 10 hanging around with all the adults, I was listening, mate, I was listening, because we've got another 15 years until it's 1933 again or whatever, yeah, or another 10 years. We've got another 10 years till like fucking that generation is going to be the new NATSOC, and we need it fucking across the plane. And how do we do that? We start telling the kids right now, look how fucking dangerous this is. Everybody's got the right now to turn around and go, did you see what just happened to that fucking Metcalf? Like, yeah, I can't remember, what was his first name? I can't remember. Yeah, but you can literally say on a daily basis now, every single one of you out there, families, you can literally write down a list and just send it to your headmasters and go, I'm not sending my kid to that school because of what's going on in all the other schools. And the ratios say the fucking more coons you've got in the school, the more likely my child is going to get hurt. And I'm not fucking having it. And I'm going to raise my kid to be a brutal, angry, especially the boys, brutal, angry, quick to fucking temper, very, very hard to calm the fuck down white men. That's what we fucking need, yeah? So, but it's a knife's edge, because like right now all we can do is talk about it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, that's a great point. And my next thing, first I want to pose the question, then I'll play this little video, then we'll go Zach, Tanitris, and Psychedrilla to comment. But to me, there's individuals, and they have every right with free speech to say what they want, but they like to puff up their chests and say, I'm a white supremacist, right? I just think that's counterproductive. I think that what we need to focus on now is white separatism, right? Separate but equal. Look, if we achieve our white only communities, well, the black only and the state or the federal government says, well, we have a $50 million education budget. Whites get 25 million, blacks get 25 million, something like that, right? So, and then it's up to them to do what they want. But this is what we're looking at now in Europe. I mean, this is so disgusting to me. I remember the couple times I've been in Italy, it's been a long time ago, but there were no blacks around. And now check this out. So sick to see this.
Oh, mama, la 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 la. Oh, mama, la 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 la.
here and see who's looking in my window. It's the beggar boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand. If you marry the beggar boy, he will come and he will go, and he will always be.
That's just tragic, Zach. And it's getting worse, obviously. I mean, if we don't, whites don't do something, we're going to be wiped out and just outbred, out everything. And I don't think the supremacist tact is worth it, but I do think I can gain a lot of traction with a white separatist movement. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's necessary. You know, this is actually a means of survival, because one thing that a lot of whites that are not racially aware, they seem to fail to understand, is if a white has a child with a Mexican or a black or an Asian or you name it, the whiteness is gone forever. You know, but when a black person has a child with anybody, that the lower quality is always the more prominent quality in these things. It's think about, you know, paint as an example. If you take a full bucket of white paint and you drop one little black drop of paint in there, that black will never be able to be mixed out of that paint. But if you drop a little bit of white into a bucket of black paint, well, the white will be mixed into there and you'll never even know that white was there in the first place. And this is what people are failing to recognize, is that our gene pool, if it's polluted enough, can never come back. It's not something that we can return. We didn't make the white race. This is a God-given thing. And if we don't protect this, I think it's quite obvious what the results will be. We won't have much human civilization left on this earth.
Right.
And, you know, building these physical, you know, ground-based communities where we can continue our existence and perpetuate this into the future is very crucial. The only thing that I'm worried about with the separatist movements is the fear of becoming comfortable with the isolation, you know, and saying, oh, all those other white folks, you know, they picked their lot and, you know, screw them kind of a thing. Because I do fear that a lot of people will get that way. You know, when they experience the all white community, they'll get there, they'll be really happy about it. And they'll say, well, to hell with all those other whites in the cities that don't want to wake up to this. It's not worth my time, you know, and we're going to need all of those numbers on board moving forward. So it's very important that even if we are building these separatist white communities, that we're continuing to try to take over fundamental areas of our countries, our cities, our towns, things like this, and doing everything in our power to continue to wake up those that are still sleeping and lacking. Which is honestly, it's just insane to even think about that you have to try to batter into somebody's head what's happening before their eyes right now. But we do have to continue that process.
That's a great point. Before we go to Tanitra, so you're right. We need every white. And then I guess the follow up after everybody gives their initial thoughts is how do we do that? But first, I want to say hello to everybody in the chat. Greetings, Seen Kyle, putting up some great memes. Clinton CJag always has great memes and insights. Michael Sister Nino, another brilliant guy that we see. Flacky 88, hello, always honest. Regular contributor to FTJ and co-host with Davis Lerman on Thursday nights. Great to see you. Burn Before Reading, another brilliant person with in the meme front. There's Klasha. By the way, Klasha, other also co-host with Davis on Thursday nights, and thank you for the $10 donation. All the hosts really appreciate donations. All you have to do is go up to that little green button right there, and once if you have your wallet filled, you have the ability to donate to any host you'd like to. And remember, all the hosts put in a lot of time and really appreciate donations. Straight out of Swamp Thing, my buddy Dave, I got a get together with another lunch for him. Great guy. Court, hello. Great to see you. Let's see. Rebel Johnny's here. Hello. We've got I've already said those folks. Let's see here. I already said that. Serbian Bull, the great one, one of our greatest allies. Rune Nigger, hey man, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. There's Psychedrilla and Tanichas are both in the chat. That's cool. Flack 88, great to see you. And Shameless Wise Ass, another guy with great memes. Steve, thank you so much. Donation of $26.66. You're very generous, and it's truly appreciated. Let's see. I think that's everybody. But good to see the chat's really hopping. There's so many great memes and Day of the Rope. That looks really good. All right. So Tanitris, how, I mean, it seems by now with everything that's going on, especially what we, laid out in hour one with this insane murderous violence. I mean, outrageous. And the Jew and the libtards are going to say, oh, we have to take guns away. It's like, for really? That's the only thing from keeping this becoming 6 million times worse is the fact that the average decent person is armed. So I think Zach brought up a great point that we have to wake up all whites, and you'd think by now it should be a slam dunk because of everything we're presenting, but it's not. And what can we do to snap those I would say weak-minded white folks out of their Talmudic entrancement?
There's only one way to bring all whites, and that's by having sharp judgment. The problem is that there is a big gap between the whites who want to be moral and are very tricked by what moral means, and they see us as some evil people, right? Just straight from Hollywood movie about those street thugs looking for trouble and not doing anything productive and just seeking for violence just for the sake of violence, screaming at people just because that gives them some kick. And the problem is that there is a lot of those kind of behaviors on our side that just blindly repeat the Jewish mold of a neo-Nazi thug straight from their movies.
Right.
So this will always, always block most of the people from seeing what's going on because we are the only force that is capable and that is courageous enough to notify other people, spread awareness of the actual political situation. Those kind of behaviors will always block us, will always push us into the niche and into this, underground, preventing us from reaching the masses, preventing us from conquering the hearts. So that's one problem. And I have to give a little bit of backlash. For instance, one of those videos in your intros, of Hitler bombing some random people. I think this is a great example of this, kind of narrative, right? That the Jew literally presents us and the National Socialists as just evil people who go out of the way to be cruel to others just for the sake of cruelty. Right. And here you have, Hitler bombing some, random people in that clip. It just doesn't make any sense. This is not a propaganda piece. This is literally just an 8-year-old entertainment, for other kids to clap along, because they yeah. I think it's funny and they just like it. Then the same thing goes with like those Jew jokes, right? Like about gassing Jews and things like that. This is really so tiring because I understand from, a sane perspective, a joke, right? It's funny because it never happened. So it's funny how the Jews play the victim of being gassed and masturbated right. to death and all those things. It's funny. But when it comes to gassing itself, this is a little bit more believable than, the masturbation machines and turning people right. into soaps. So because of that fact alone, there is a lot of people who actually buy into this. And when they see us joking about it, they just assume that we get a kick out of the misery of other people. They think that it really happened, and they assume that we also know that it really happened, but we just like it, right? So then you have this division on people who think that it was a bad thing, what happened, and then people who think that it was a great thing, what happened. But mm-hmm. there's no place for people who don't believe in those scary tales. And that's a problem, right? That we don't put enough emphasis on the fact that it didn't happen in the first place, right? And the same thing with the cruelty itself, you know, like it's so tiring to be represented as, you know, just some unhinged individual who wants to hurt others. We are literally the opposite ones, right. But we are not spineless and we are courageous enough to do whatever is necessary in order to protect our people. That is a completely different thing, right? To be able to get physical or to, you know, to defend yourself, as opposed to just, you know, going out there on the street and chimping out like a monkey, literally, right?
Well, let me ask you this. I absolutely agree. If we were doing a Twitter space, you know, one of the things we're starting to brainstorm is how can we grow FTJ and reach, you know, the people who are starting to wake up to what's going on with the Jewish problem and with the violence of the sub-Saharans. And I completely agree with you that if we're having a Twitter space introducing FTJ or, you know, doing a very, for us, very, very simple explanation of why the Holocaust isn't real, then I completely agree as we're trying to attract normies to be in our best behavior and none of that stuff. But I also believe that when we're among our own people who get it, like in these shows, we suffer so much dealing with these idiots, these white idiots who refuse to acknowledge what's really going on. So it's a kind of gallows humor, right? It keeps everybody sane because we can laugh about all this dark stuff. So I think there's a difference, and I completely agree. If we're trying to recruit people who don't really understand it, then we got to be on our best behavior, like Zach does with his spaces or what he does on the Stu Peters Network. But I also think that when we're with our own people, you know, I think it's fine to have that dark humor because it keeps you sane. So your response.
Well, humor is fine, you know, but then again, I don't think it's necessary for us to feel like victims and that we need to compensate our victimhood with, you know, like some sort of dark humor. And again, you know, like depends what we understand by dark humor, because if we are just jokingly say something about the nature of other people, like, you know, we're mocking the nigger behavior, right? Or uh-huh. We're using the N word with the hard R or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's completely different than us repeating blindly the Jewish narrative of the World War II, right? And sure, representing right. Hitler, our hero, as actually a vicious murderer or something like that. Sure. You know, someone who's just bombing everyone just for the heck of it, right? Or something like that. I understand the sentiment in that clip. I understand that we're tired of all those demographics and mm-hmm. we need to kick them out of our nations. We need to defend ourselves from them. And they all of them are very dangerous to us. I understand that. But it's just not a wise way to picture that. And even among ourselves, because the problem is that if we are going too deep into this, you know, cozy environment of just, you know, us having inside jokes and everything mm-hmm. like that, we are pushing ourselves into that underground, right? We are no longer capable of actually interacting with the brainwashed masses. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, such are the times that the great majority of white people are deeply brainwashed. You don't want right. to be isolated from them. You don't want to appear as some sort of a freak, completely neutering yourself right from the get-go, right? And just presenting yourself as someone who they will never listen to. As opposed to just, you know, coming out to the people like a normal human being, starting sure. conversations and just talking about the facts, right? Not just, you know, acting like a schizo, right? That's the problem, that a lot of those activists, you know, like who televise their activism, they mm-hmm. literally act like some just lunatics, right? They yeah, come up true. To people and they scream and then they just it's not the way to convince anyone, you know. Maybe aside from like some disturbed teenagers, right? Maybe like some couple of people like that. But when it comes to conquering the hearts of the masses, there's absolutely no way. And this is also what bothers me a lot, too. Like, do we really need, we as Aryans, think about it. This is really important. Do we really need this safe space where we just provide ourselves the comfort of having dark humor, as opposed to have our own safe space with beauty, where we can actually consume something that is creative, something that is beautiful, classical music, sure. Let's produce art together, let's talk about intellectual things, let's talk about spirituality, let's talk about God, let's look at the beautiful white families, things like that. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, let's live in a community where we can see beautiful people around us, right, and new generations, and listen to wonderful music when we go inside the business or things like that. This is the safe space that we need in order to grow spiritually, not having those dark internet places where we don't grow at all. We just, you know, turn into those antisocial weirdos.
You know, I think you make a very compelling point, and we'll get Psychedrilla and Zach to comment on it. But before we do, I want to mention a very cool new opportunity for to get Dave Gahari's books. He's got a processor, and he's got a new website called BannedByAmazon.com. And so literally every one of the books Dave sells in his various imprints that's been banned by Amazon are now available at BannedByAmazon.com. And you can use the I don't know if the code works there or not, but there's all the Jim Fetzer conspiracy band books, and there's Andy Hitchcock's The Synagogue of Satan, which is a great book, by the way. So you can go here if you want to use your regular debit or credit card, or I know you can go to Money Tree Publishing and use the code GMAN and get 10% off that order. Let me actually put that up. There we go. And what's cool about Money Tree Publishing now is they take crypto, and pretty soon I think Dave's going to have another processor there. But so you have two options. If you want to use crypto, you go or Money Tree Publishing, or the various other things like mail in a check or that green check where you can do it, or the new website BannedByAmazon.com, just as it's spoken, no spaces, BannedByAmazon.com, and you can use your credit cards, your debit cards, whatever you like, and there's all the great books you really should own anyway, and some of the, there's some audiobooks there. That's cool. I didn't realize there was a Hellstrom audiobook. Very cool. So definitely want to support Dave Gahari, because Dave Gahari pays for FTJ, and although more and more people are coming on with the FTJ Pro, which is a very cool thing. Well, since I'm doing a promo right there, that button right up there, and $50 a year or $5 a month to pay for your space on the server, and you can have your shows, your art, your music, your books be there on FTJ. And so, as a matter of fact, you know, there's some really compelling hosts with their own following, like Jeffrey Doherty, who really does a hard look, former Christian proselytizer, you know, preacher, who now is no longer a Christian. He's an Aryan and has done deep, amazing research into the history of the Reich and everything. And so he's on FTJ. In fact, going to have him on a show in May to kind of promote his stuff. And there's other people coming on. And so you could too, $5 a month or $50 a year. Just remember, it's got to be about our topics, which is white people based information, information that and art and that serves this cause. You know, if you want to champion libtard stuff or Negro stuff or Jewish stuff, well, you got plenty of options like YouTube, but this is for people who are based. All right. So, Psychedrilla, what are your thoughts on Tanitris's point that if we act like high-minded, you know, sophisticated, learned whites, maybe it'll rub off on the great mass of whites who don't get it?
Right. Well, okay. So I'm not so nigger pilled with the hard R. I'm nowhere near as nigger pilled about what I think the white folks are brainwashed or not, because what we have to remember is, and this has been proven in recent news reports, you look at all the so-called left who were turning up at Harris's meets, and then they're now protesting God knows what. Right. But they're all on the payroll. And so we've got the Jew. We've been fight. We are in a war that the people like you and I, yeah, and Tanitris and Zach, yeah, and the people in the chat. Some of you, like Zach, he's been around for a while. He's a young lad, like, yeah, so he's known for a while that we've been in a propaganda war that's been fought against us from before the Second World War. But like, there's nobody fighting back against this propaganda war for nearly 100 years since the end of the Second World War. We've been totally, so you've got the Jews telling us that the majority of white folks aren't racist. You've got the Jews telling us that the majority of white folks are all libtards, yeah? You've got the Jews telling us that fucking everybody, all the white folks actually like niggers more than they fucking like themselves, yeah? And my experience on a daily, well, not on a daily, but when I'm going out and I'm meeting what we call normies, yeah, these people are noticing. These people are nowhere near as leftist as the media would have us believe. So right. What we've got, so what we're actually fighting, what Tanitris is right, I can't fault him in what he's saying, but what don't we have? We don't have an industry of pro-white propaganda. We don't have all we've got random propaganda makers. Yeah, and I thank God every day for them, because I wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for them. Yeah, mm-hmm. Now we need a grassroots network. We need to incentivize propagandists, and that's what the beautiful thing about FTJ, because propagandists can sign up for £5 at $5 a month, yeah, and hopefully people people can follow them, and there's none of this bullshit with YouTube where you've got to have so many followers, you've got right. to in the algorithm. There is no fucking algorithm, yeah, it's the most honest thing. So what we have to do, and with FTJ, if I understand what it's based on, is based on I used to use it when it was free, but you can actually have your own spaces with the same amount of people on the FTJ platform that you can have on Space, but nobody knows this. Yeah, so we've got free propagandists. We haven't got any paid for propagandists. We've got free educators like Zach, and we're all struggling. But so then we've got people who are financing platforms like the people like Dave Gahari's financing FTJ and all the other platforms, and even Odyssey's got its place, like, yeah. But so what we have to do is go, right, we need to follow all those models. We need to create a platform where people who are pro-white will go, I know I'm going to earn money there. Yeah, I'll get confused. So what we are seriously lacking is so they're paying for the lefties to go out. They fucking stop protesting at midday. That goes to show that they're on somebody's payroll. We haven't got,
you know, let me interject for a second. That's a yeah. great point, that the Antifa types get paid $60 an hour to go and do their bullshit, right? I mean, Soros, that's a sweet, you know, that's a living wage, $60 an hour. So
mate, insane. Last summer, yeah. So put that point taken, yeah. Last summer, after that fucking coon stabbed up all those children in the UK, yeah, right. There was suddenly a propaganda. Somebody somewhere started putting into all of the Telegram groups, there's going to be a far right meeting. Yeah, there's going to be a far right protest. And suddenly there was the Jews meet propaganda machine spent like 10 days going, there's going to be a far right meeting. There's going to be a far right. There's protests. The far right white are coming out all over the UK to protest. And on the fucking day, who turned up? All the packies, all the niggers and all the Antifas who were paid for by, I mean, every single poster and banner was exactly the same across the country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was all paid for by the Socialist Workers Party. magazine. Yeah. So there you go. So there's the, it's very clear that we don't have anybody even willing to go, okay, look, mate, here's £1 million. Fucking get together as many fucking brown shirts as you can to turn up, and we'll pay them. We'll pay them fucking £10 an hour to stand on the streets and yes, go, fuck you, nigger. Yeah. Cause we need that. Cause the lefties can turn up and go, yeah, we want to fuck kids. We love trannies. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I love. And they say all this degenerate stuff, and all the fucking Jews media film them and go, yeah, aren't these people, see, they've got a right to say that, but we don't. But so I don't believe anywhere near as many white people in the UK, let alone over in America or in Spain, are anywhere near as fucking normie as the Jews would have us believe. So I mean, look at what's happening in Israel and Palestine. Like, yeah, all they can do is fucking lie to us, yeah, and pay. Yeah. All the protesters for Palestine are paid. They're paid to be out there agitating, and that's just to make all the normies go, I fucking hate these Palestinians, yeah. But if we could pay proper propagandists, we wouldn't be having to use the old World War II memes. I wouldn't have to be doing the Nazi nightclub. I'd do the fucking, look at these Israeli bastards doing what the fucking they said the Nazis did, but they're actually doing it. They'd be doing it nightclub. You know what I mean? But we don't, yeah. We just don't have that at the moment. So it's all about incentivization and networking. It's all about us going, right, yeah, you're right, Tonitrus. Like, how the fuck can we get this now and set up a business model that we can sell to based white people who want to take it further? Because that's where we're at the moment. We've got nothing. It's just random fuckers doing mad shit on the internet. Like, you're right, mate, yeah? But some people are doing it in style and some people ain't. But, like, fucking, what can we do? The ball is in the audience's court. And the ball, we haven't even got a ball. We've got to get the materials to fucking build the ball, inflate it, and then start kicking it around.
That's a great point, Zach. I know you have thoughts because I believe you're more like Tenetris, and you don't want to follow the path of the dark humor and outrageous spectacle. So your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I definitely concur with what Tenetris is saying. And here's the thing, I do like dark humor. Don't get me wrong. In my personal time, I listen to a lot of dark humor, shock humor type things.
Right.
It's a matter of like public portrayal, I think, is what Tenetris is getting at, is that you know, when we're pushing for spreading this message to as many people as possible, we want to have the sentiments of those people. And those sentiments are they're very emotional people, right? They're driven by this notion that we're hateful psychopaths, and we need to be very clear to them that that's not the case with us, that we're not people that are, you know, boogeymen who are out to kill a bunch of Jews, but rather we're very normal people who want to help the circumstances of the day. Right. And that's kind of negated when you see, well, things like Hitler blowing people up or something like that. It reinforces, right, like a Jewish narrative to these people. And not only is it bad that it's associated to us, but rather that these people will further ferment in their heads that the Jewish narrative is correct, and that Hitler did gas people and he did want to kill people. And then we're like, oh yeah, that was good that he thought that way, you know, instead of us actually thinking quite the opposite, right? The reason I love Hitler is because he wasn't the psychopath that,
right, oh, great Jewish point, media
forcibly like shoved down our throat. On the contrary, he was actually one of the most peaceful men that's probably ever existed as a world leader in the last,
right,
200 years, right? So I think that's an important key is how the public is going to perceive it. That's how I try to look at everything I do when I'm on a live public show or when I'm, you know, anywhere doing something publicly, is how are others out there going to portray it? And is this good or bad propaganda? Like, imagine if Jews, for their propaganda, when they started buying up all the media in the United States, they portrayed Jewish people as people that were, you know, poisoning wells and mass murdering like children in Russia and things like this. Obviously, people wouldn't like Jews, right? On a mass scale instead of, you know, on the small scale that we have today. Right. So it's just a matter of method and strategy. Simply, that's how I see it.
Well, that's a great point. And speaking of method and strategy, the sane people in Europe and the United States have been playing a long game of, you know, this Talmudic insanity that there's 6 million genders. And if you want to be a little kitten and you put on kitty ears and meow to people, well, sure, we've got to put a litter box then in your school bathroom. And to me, doing that is just so bizarre and so beyond the pale. I can't even understand how these educators can think in any way that is a proper procedure. But the same people have been working their way up through the courts, and a massive ruling came down in England this past week saying that their Supreme Court stated, Zach, Tonitris, and Psychodrilla, that no, trannies are not women. The only women are biological women, and you know, your mutilation and it is not real. So I think that's a major victory for sanity, and hopefully that with Trump's first month when he just dismantled the culture wars in the United States here, which was for a few weeks, Trump was our guy, and now he's Zion Don, and he's not our guy anymore. But let's go back to Zach. Zach, your thoughts. I mean, this tranny Talmudic bullshit of cultural subversion and trying to make why America, why England, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's got to end. And thank God there's some sanity at the highest level of the British court system.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see. It's a very, very small step in the right direction. It's more like right. A you know, common sense kind of thing, but it is good to see that at least something is happening on a higher level. Although I have to say, I don't expect much change beyond that. I don't think we're going to be seeing them ban niggers out of office or something of the sort. But it definitely is a start in the right direction, and I'm happy for that piece, I'll say.
There you go. Tanitius, your thoughts. I mean, this tranny insanity, number one, it just plays into the whole Jewish long con of sterilizing and ending young whites' ability to breed more whites. And every one of these trannies who have mutilated themselves will never produce a white child. And something that's not talked about is how much regret when these teenage trannies get into their mid to late 20s, 30s, they realize what a horrible mistake they made. They go back and have surgery to restore to their natural sex, but it's too late. They'll never have children. So, I mean, I guess it's like Zach says, it's a step in the right direction. But on the other hand, you know, most of these people go by the rule of law, and it's really great to see the highest court in England finally come out and make that crystal clear.
Yeah, they pushed the overturn window so far left, meaning into the satanic Jewish direction, yes, that the bar is so low right now, right? Simply stating that there are two genders, it's a counter-revolutionary statement, and it's so radical and extreme. So it's a low-hanging fruit in a way, you know, like to just keep saying that, oh, there are only two genders, but not talking about the source, you know, or not saying anything about the, you know, how we got into that place in the first place. Sure, you know, it's always good to see that there is some pushback against this Satanism, and that we are saving some of the white kids, hopefully, potentially. But it's kind of like with the abortion. I don't think that abortion is an important issue in the multiracial society, because there is always a risk that we will be just saving more of the savage invaders that then will kill our own children, right? If we're just going to focus on abortion itself. And we're running into the same exact problem when we are concentrating too much against the LGBTQP itself without looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture always needs to be concentrated on the demographics and on the source. So the end goal for us is always to save our demographics, to save our race specifically. and to have as many of our people as possible on our lands and as little of other people, of the invaders. And simply tackling LGBTQP or abortion, it doesn't really say anything about demographics, right? It can actually backfire, and it can have the complete opposite result than we want. And then the second important aspect is obviously the source, right? Talking about who is behind it and exposing people to that truth, let them notice, you know. So their influence will diminish over time, and they will have less power and less influence. So those are, I would say, the main objectives, rather than, you know, concentrating too much on some little elements of it. And just going back really fast to what was said before, you know, I my message is oftentimes, I think, misunderstood through the prism of the so-called optic cocks, because this is a real phenomenon, this, you know, like optic cocks, like, for instance, on the conservative side, where you have people claiming that the Democrats are the real racists, right? So you better shut up about your race stuff, because you're destroying all the effort that we're putting in here by convincing people that it's actually the Democrats who are the racists. And we're not racist. So if you're on our side, then you're a problem because you're destroying our narrative. This kind of a thing, right? So the moment someone sees, the moment people hear someone criticizing the so-called Nazis, right, or certain narratives coming from the white nationalist circles, they automatically assume this kind of a scenario, right? That someone is just counter signaling the message and is trying to mellow it down, right? And turn it into a milquetoast. That's not the case at all, actually. I think that I'm the, you know, I'm representing the most radical wing in here by trying to dismantle the whole basis of our current state, right? The moral basis. And at no point I'm disagreeing with what, you know, Psychodrilla have said about the entertainment. I've listened to all of the songs that I have listened of his production. I found them really funny. And I don't see anything of the sort that I was talking about. I'm just simply talking about fitting that Jewish mold, right? And just repeating the image of us being portrayed as some sort of, you know, like unhinged lunatics who seek violence. I don't think that Psychodilla is doing any of that. I was talking about different kind of a humor, right? That, well, like, for instance, that video from the intro would be a good example. I think that it's very important for us to win the moral battle, because I also agree that, you know, obviously the media is skewing the picture of our people, and it's not the case that all of our people are just, you know, so brainwashed and so brain dead that they blindly believe in the mainstream narrative. It is true that, you know, there are more based people than we think. Although, you know, I may have a different perspective in here, and I may be biased just because I was always, I always lived in really large urban settings. So I have experienced that, you know, more of that really hardcore left wing side of our people. I never lived in any rural area. I never lived in any conservative area. So, you know, I'm definitely, I have seen enough, you know, of how bad our people can be indoctrinated. Sure. But I take that point, you know, that Psychodrilla made about things are not being as bad as it is being presented by the mainstream media, and them wanting us to be demoralized by convincing us that, oh, all of white people are just suicidal, so there's no point, let them rot, right? Surely it's not like that. I agree with that. But they are, most, the great majority of our people are brainwashed at least to the point where they don't see us being the moral force. And I,
that's a great point,
truly consider that we are the moral ones. Because not only we are aware of what's going on, not only we disagree about what's going on, but also we are willing to stand against it. And I think that this is the only moral position to have. And this is the real battle in here, the moral and the spiritual war, where we have to convince others to join our side and to see with the same lenses, right? That if you want to be moral, you need to join the fight. You need to fight against the demonic Jew and fight for the future of our people. There's no other way. Otherwise, God is not going to give you anything. God is not going to have great things for us. No, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to burn in hell for eternity because you did not use your position here on earth to fight for what's right and for what's righteous.
Oh, that's very, very insightful and inspirational. Psychodrilla, what are your thoughts on the UK highest court showing some sanity? And also, great points by Tunitris that you know, if whites don't embrace a moral and spiritual higher code that we, you know, is the legacy of our people, we're not doing justice and we won't win this battle. Your thoughts on both?
Right. Well, the whole thing about like, oh, men, women are women. Yeah, that's a distraction. That because like, if we do the numbers, yeah, in the UK there ain't that. It's really expensive to get your fucking cut. Get your fucking knob cut off, and there's not that the ratio of girls getting their tits cut off compared to girls not getting their tits cut off is massively tiny. I think it's and everybody going, oh, they're getting themselves sterilized. Well, the thing is, two of my children died because they were ectopic pregnancies. Yeah, that's something caused by the vaccines. That it's all right, a distraction, yeah, away from the true poisonous nature of what we do to our children. So it's more of a distraction than anything. Yeah, cool, sound. It's going to give the normies more, but it's, once again, it's an opportunity for us to propagandize this and do it in a way which is of a high standard. I just need to settle something. I wasn't taking that personal about what Tunitris said. I totally agree with what he says, and I agree that the standard has to be raised. Yeah, that I mean, like, my songs are, they're okay, yeah, but what my songs, I try to, the message is we are better than that, you know what I mean, and to do it with a bit of laughter. Now so my point, it always comes back to that incentivization, that way of, like, I try and set my streams up where I'm trying not to be that sort of like nigga kaffa, you know what I mean, because like it's not family friendly, this is where we need to be. We need to be family friendly. We need to be something that will take the attention of the youth, because we need the youth. It's the youth who we need to be talking to, because the Jew considers anybody over the age of 20 obsolete, mate. Yeah, they've done their job. They've done their fucking job, yeah. So So my answer is to yes, you're right. You're right, Tunitris. We need to raise the standard. That's what Adolf did. If anybody turns around and goes and says, "Oh, do you know? Oh, how evil he was." Actually, mate, he's a much maligned and misunderstood geezer. You know, if it wasn't for Adolf, we wouldn't have nature reserves. You've got to have those counter arguments, but in such a way that you say it with a smile on your face, and people walk away going, "Really? I didn't know that." You know what I mean? It's all about having and us having, once again, the content created that is going to get people to engage, to go beyond that conditioned mentality of Hitler bad, fascist bad, Christianity bad. You know what I mean? And the thing is, like, my understanding, and seeing as it's Easter coming up, yeah, and you mentioned that it's Adolf's birthday on the same day that Christ rose again, mm-hmm, in the hearts of men, because somebody said earlier, I can't remember who it was, but it's the white races, yeah, have this affinity for martyrdom. They have this affinity for justice, yeah. So people would mistake that, oh, Jesus came back to life. No, he didn't. He rose up in the hearts of the white men, and the Jew learned, oh fuck, we can't let that happen again. So the next time Jesus came along, which was Adolf and various other people, but like the last one who really made a difference was Adolf, and he was more Jesus than Jesus, mate. Yeah, and he motivated the people and he raised the people up, and all the beauty that was seen, yeah, in that nation had to be obliterated and so demonized, so that now it's taken 80 years, 90, nearly not nearly 100 years for generations to start going, hold on a second, what the fuck's going on here? And guess where it all came from? It came from a bunch of people who decided they were going to take the piss on 4chan 10, 15 years ago. Yeah. 10, 15 years ago, people started taking the piss and promoting white supremacy or whatever. That's the legend that I understand. Yeah. So now we're in the stage now where we have to go like tonight, we have to normalize ourselves. We have to fucking really present it so people want to come and have that conversation and know that they can have that conversation. But on top of that, how do we get people to do that? Well, YouTube and X, well, X don't really pay out and YouTube isn't paying out what it used to, but it still pays out a lot. So what our job is to do, yeah, is to raise the standard and then tell everybody on all the due platforms, guess what? You can come and earn money and pay. And we need to fucking incentivize all of the big people, whoever they are, to come and know that they can come and use these platforms where they won't get censored and the algorithm isn't already designed to mute them. You know what I mean? And yes, the standard has to be better than anything that they've done. We have to really shine brighter than anything that they can darken. Because they're throwing shit at us on a daily basis and hoping that we can't turn around and be better than that. And that's what your point is, Dinitris, from what I get.
Awesome. This has been such an engaging discussion. Honor to have all three guys on. Just want to, before I turn it over to Zach, I want to give each of you guys, if there's something that is on your front plate, front burner that I didn't bring up, we can use the last 20 minutes or so to cover those topics. But good news, I checked with Dave Gahari, the owner of FTJ, Money Tree Publishing, and now banned by Amazon.com. And the discount G-Man applies to both platforms, so that's good news. Go buy yourself some books and videos and audiobooks and support this growing platform for based, white, truthful content. So, Zach, is there anything you wanted to bring up and discuss with the gentleman that I have not so far addressed?
Actually, in Psycho Driller's last point, he mentioned 4chan. Thought it'd be maybe interesting to talk about the recent development that was exposed from 4chan. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, no, let's do that. That's a great point.
Yeah, a lot of these Israeli accounts were found running rampant all over 4chan, posting essentially demoralization content, posting a lot of like interracial porn and things of this nature to basically demoralize people, right? Acting as if they were black people on 4chan to say things like like white women are worthless and things like that, just to demoralize young white men, which is, you know, predominantly what was scrolling through 4chan, again, other than Israeli bots. But they were like something like double the top country on 4chan or something like that. They had like double the amount of posts or something of that sort. Very interesting, because it shows us that this, this is one of the hardest pieces here with our movement is, people tend to get like schizophrenic about this stuff, right? And worried that like everything is a honeypot, everything is a breeding ground for Jews to pull through things and take advantage of some situation. And people get like overly paranoid and nervous about everything, to the point of they're accusing anybody who says one slight thing that they don't agree with of being a Fed or a Jew or something of that nature. So this can get really dangerous, but there is, you know, a decent level of truth to Jews will co-opt platforms and creators and things of this nature in order to control a narrative. And I think seeing this thing with 4chan is a perfect example of that happening in real time, that we can display to people to show like this isn't some kind of conspiracy theory, right? Because that's how this is perceived when you say, oh, Jews are, you know, co-opting narratives and they're trying to play both sides and things like this. You know, people think this is crazy, but I think this Israel bot farm on 4chan is quite a good depiction of exactly what we're trying to get at when we expose this.
Well, that's a great point, because, you know, they literally have, well, I don't know, hundreds if not thousands of paid Jews under the umbrella of Unit 8200, Unit 269 and other, where they're just doing nothing but spending 8, 10, 12 hours a day subverting X, Twitter, subverting Facebook, subverting all of them, and especially the more platforms that are for young. That it's rampant what they do. I mean, I was recently looking at some statistics of internet usage on these platforms and with by country, and it's shocking how much of that shit is coming out of Israel every day. So, Tony, just your thoughts.
Yeah, they always manufacture the reality so everyone else, you know, has a skewed perspective. And that way, you know, it's easy to demoralize our people, you know, and just it goes back to our environment, right? Just always being portrayed as unhinged and, you know, full of weird, psychotic individuals who just sit online all the time and share weird porn and things like that, right?
Great point. Great point. Yeah, it's pretty sad. Psychedrilla, your thoughts on the expose of what is a monstrous campaign by paid Israelis to subvert everything and of decent white culture and traditionalism.
I don't believe it. No. What, Jews subverting? I bet you, actually, thinking about it after what Logos just said, I bet you it was Jews, those Jews full of so much chutzpah, they were like, hey, why don't we just make Hitler a hero? Hey, that'd be funny. And now they're regretting everything. It just started all of this. It was probably just started off one fucking full-bore Tazax fucking retard pedo Jew in the 77th Brigade in the UK suddenly came up with the idea, let's pretend that Hitler was cool, and like fucking it just opened the floodgates, mate. They probably fucking shot themselves in the foot, like, yeah. So this comes back to the whole point of how do we turn around and say, like, well, you can either use the Jewish platforms, the Jewish algorithm, the anti-white platform, the anti-white algorithms, or you can come and use the other platforms which are pro-white and right. will earn you money. Why do the youth use YouTube? Because YouTube has been sold to everyone. That's where you go if you want to earn money doing stuff online, yeah? They're trying to sell you, oh, you can earn money if you're on Twitter, yeah? So this is, once again, where we have to go. The money for the white man to be paid by the white. Who do you want to support? Do you want to support the illegal immigrants and the people who hate you on YouTube, or do you want to support the people who are using the other platforms? It's as simple as that. And that it's easy said. I know it's easy said. I know it's easy said. But once again, this is all grassroots. You give it another 10 years, mate. I see beautiful things happening. You know what I mean?
That's a great point. And it really, you know, it's sad that the Vile Kike has succeeded in making almost everything into a bubble. For example, that whole tranny scam, it is just another a disgusting, degenerative Kike financial bubble. Because keep in mind, in 2008, there were only two tranny chop shops in the United States, one in Boston and one just down the road here in Richmond, Virginia, both run by Kikes, of course. And now there's over 500 and growing in Canada, the United States, and Mexico. It's this huge bubble to rake in all this money, and they get the benefit of sterilizing a lot of whites, because basically that's mostly who is got the money to put, because that is not a cheap procedure and it's permanent. But a great point. And so you got to vote with your dollars, white man and women. You got to be, you know, if you're, you know, come to FTJ and support the host, support the network. And if you have any talent, do your own stuff and become FTJ Pro and join us. So that's a really great point, Psychedrilla. You got to vote with your dollars to go to locally owned white stores. Don't go to the big boxes.
I'm reminded of that old advert in the late early 2000s or late 90s your gynecologist's a man. And they did this whole campaign about like making sure that men weren't gynecologists because it's creepy to have a man looking at your Jack and Danny as a woman and that, like, yeah. So like fucking, so you got to fucking, we got to remember we've been like, all we have to do, we've been propagandized all our lives. We just got to use all of the memes that this is what we're good at. Yeah. We're good at taking their propaganda. So it'd be like, what, your platform's Jewish? What, you're earning like fucking, I can't understand why people aren't getting incentivized by the fact that if you support a creator on FTJ or on other platforms, 100% of that earnings, or if you're using FTJ, from after the point you've filled your wallet, all of that dollar goes to that content creator. That's better than anything you get on any of the Jewish platforms. I mean, well, how hard is it to create an advertising campaign to go and sell that? I mean, I can't understand why we're not doing it. And I know why we're not doing it, because we've only got voluntary agents in the movement, in these platforms right now. So hopefully it's about incentivization, isn't it? Like, yeah.
Oh, well, can you imagine if some of the brilliant hosts like Nick, Flood, Zach, yourself, Tanitris, Davis Lerman, all were making a living wage and could, you know, spend all their time putting together more sophisticated counter propaganda campaigns and didn't have to worry about hustling to pay their rent, pay their mortgage, yada yada. I mean, that's fantastic. And you're right, we do need that to happen. I agree 6,000,000%. So Tanitris, we're coming down to the final 15 minutes or so. Anything that you would like to discuss with the gentleman that I haven't brought up?
Yeah, I'm actually curious to know, Psychodrilla, about Rhodesia. You've mentioned that you haven't really spent much time there. And my understanding is that you moved to UK when you were a kid, but your family is originally from there. Do you still have any family there?
No, there's no family there anymore. My dad ended up moving to Papua New Guinea. Because that's the freest place he could be. He died two, three years ago, but he took it over there. And one of his last letters to me was he did come back to England for a while, but he was just, there's too many rules, and it was just there's no freedom. You're on an island of slaves. Is his words he wrote to me, and he went and he cut out a whole new civilization. Well, he cut out his own territory in Papua New Guinea. And he was treated like a proper white man because he meted out the justice. You know what I mean? Because there is no law there. And they were very grateful. The Papua New Guinea villagers and the natives were very grateful to him for turning up there. He was actually very well known. He used to, a boiler smith by trade, and a boiler smith is a fantastic engineer. He went out there and he helped rebuild. He rebuilt a lot of the lathes that were left by the mining companies when they left Papua New Guinea. And he built quite a good industry out there. I was going to go and visit him, but I never got the pleasure. So,
but, yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because you know it's oftentimes the case that in those lands, like, you know, jungles that haven't been still indoctrinated by the Jewish poison, you really do get experience, you know, of what is the difference between the Aryan person and the savages. And they, you know, if they are not indoctrinated, if they are not empowered by the Jews, then they do indeed know their place. And, you know, they have this natural respect for the Aryans, knowing that we are not.
My father was a fierce man, a fearsome man. Yeah, and so was every other Rhodesian who fought that war. Every man who turned up there and became a Rhodesian white, and the ones, I have to admit, the Africans who fought in the Rhodesian war before, like Ian Smith, let them really take over, were good men. Yeah, they understood the reason why they were fighting. They understood that if the white man goes, we're fucked. And now look at that communist state, Zimbabwe now, yeah? And that's exactly, and my dad went out there and he reestablished. And this is what we're going to do. They could kick us out of all of our countries, and there will be a white man out there, or 10 white men out there with 10 white women, and we will take it all back. because that's what we do. But what we have to remove from us is this stupid feminist empathy. I mean, it's installed in me, like fucking this like, oh, I give a fuck about. No, my dad did not give a fuck about my feelings, his missus's feelings, anybody's. Because if you show you give a fuck about anybody's feelings, especially to the Kaffirs or to the villagers, the primates or what these subs, whatever you want to categorize them as, yeah. My dad, when he was in Papua New Guinea, he knew that if he turned up there and said please and thank you, he would get nowhere. He took it, he ruled it, and that's how you have to be. And they fucking love you for it because they have no sense of order until the white man turns up and establishes it.
Yeah, absolutely. We are the border.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, I was just agreeing and saying that we are indeed the force of order, and I think that naturally all of the other people recognize it. And, you know, it kind of aligns with my experience in the jungles of the Latin America. When I was still really young, I decided to travel all over Latin America, escaping Europe just because I felt very uneasy there, you know, with the modern system and just schooling you to be an obedient slave and, you know, just get a job at a corporation and work your ass off, you know, and pay your taxes. And I just couldn't see a future for myself in such an environment. So I decided to travel all across Latin America. And back then, I did not really know what to expect. And in Spain, especially, there's this really strong push for this equality between us Spaniards and the people from our past colonies, like, you know, all over Latin America. So I went there with the mindset of just, you know, like, oh, I'm going to my people, right? These are my people just on the other side of the ocean. That was the moment when I learned about real life, about the differences between the races, how big of a gap there is, you know, how incapable they are with our way of thinking and how hard it is for them to even, you know, have an understanding of our concept of, you know, freedom, our concept of justice. All of that is very foreign to them. I did get a little bit of that treatment, like you were talking about your father, you know, like they do respect you when you're just, you know, a dominant man who is, you know, building that order. Then, you know, everyone is just very obedient to you in those savage lands that were not. Oh,
mate, yeah, every time I've experienced anything that like that triggered the honorable man in me, and I've only ever I've rarely stepped up to defend myself, but when I've been in third world countries, and I've seen things going on that I didn't enjoy or that were wrong, like, yeah, I'd step up. And I didn't, it was just an instant, like you just step up and I'd be like, no, that's bang out of order. What do you think you do? And the next thing I know, I've got a whole crew of other Westerners who wouldn't have done anything. But as soon as I've done it, they step up and we all start representing justice and rightness. And the natives would calm the fuck down. You know what I mean? That happened to me a number of times. And it was never, ever, it was only until afterwards that I'd sit back down and like, it would all calm down and the Westerners would fuck off and that. And then the locals would come to me and go, why did you do this? And I'm like, well, because you've been dishonorable. You weren't being correct. And they'd go, oh, okay. But I never, it wasn't until like, I thought about these things years later that I was like, oh, fucking hell, mate. Yeah, because we have to represent. And that's what, luckily, I had the first 7 years of my life with my father, and that's what's installed in me. And this is where as a race, especially in the westernized, especially in the urbanized parts of our nations, especially in the UK, mate, there's like fucking, they took on so many 30,000 new teachers last year, and only 500 of them were men. Yeah. So what I was blessed with was my father, who was a true fucking man. Yeah. Installed in me, this is how you are in this way when you're dealing with these people. So it was almost a muscle memory when I was seeing it happen in those third world countries that I've worked, and I've gone, no, bang. And then it's meted it out every time. It always worked, but you have to be that fierce man. You cannot be this like, oh, What would people say? What would people think? No, you just have to be the standard that you want to see. You have to be that. So get married, find yourself a good woman, and make sure she can cook and she wants to have babies. And if you have boys, you fucking teach your boys how to be boys, because like in 15 years time, we're gonna fucking need them.
Great point. Really great point. Man, I had no idea your father was such an inspirational and charismatic in the proper way character. And it's funny that it's taken me decades, because, you know, you're raised by the subversive kike media and now the subversive Judeo-Christian religions. And they all espouse this kumbaya communism of we're all one family and it's all bullshit. And it's taken me a long time to understand the greatest gift you can give any human is the gift of self-determination, which is, I don't care if you get yourself killed. I don't care if you do the stupidest things. It's your path, your choice as a free human. And so go knock yourself out. And I'm not going to in any way look to fix your mess unless you're in my immediate family or in my immediate white circle. And that's the lesson that all whites need to know and learn. Otherwise, we're doomed. So we're coming down to the end of the show. The great ones race by. Thank you, guys. This has been really enjoyable. We should put this group together again very soon. But let's start with Zach, then Tonitris, and Psychedrilla. And why don't you guys each take a turn and promote what you're doing and how the listeners can support you.
Yeah, you can catch my shows. I'm live on FTJ, Rumble, Odyssey, at least 3 days a week. I run a show on the Stu Peters Network. My main platform that you can find me on is Twitter. It's Logos Revealed I on Twitter. And inside of my bio on Twitter, you're going to find a link to a bio.site, which will bring you to all of my different platforms. There are also options to financially support my work at the bottom there. And today I have a show in about an hour. I'm going to be having Hammer from Blood Tribe on for a nice
interview. No way. That should be interesting. Isn't he running for office in Mississippi now or something?
I believe so. I believe he's run into a little bit of complications. You have to get like a certain certification and be around for a certain amount of time, but he is planning on it. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Wow, that'll be a good show. Coming up in an hour. Huh, what the heck's going on here? Fucking Windows 11. I don't know if you guys use Windows 11, but all of a sudden sometimes it will freeze. I can't. Unreal. But anyway, here we go. Now it's working. Go ahead, Tony. Just tell everybody how they can support your shows.
Linux, by the way. Linux is the way. Ditch the Microsoft, Bill Gates, satanic products. Linux is really a big difference. I'll throw up a Roman in the chat in here. Since, you know, we are on FTJ, I think this is the best platform to follow me.
Fantastic.
And you're also talking with everyone, by the way.
And your shows are Sunday nights, I believe.
Sunday nights. Yes. I actually managed to be very consistent on this particular show, and every single I have not missed a single one. So every single Sunday night you can expect a show called Dies Solis, which means the day of the sun in Latin. I try to keep it wholesome, and I try to always cover some topics. Last time I actually was covering the state of Spain, talking about the politics of Spain, right, as well as Isabel Peralta, the female activist who is now facing 1 year in jail for speaking out against the invasion of Spain. She's only 22 years old. So I actually went through the debate of her and this Muslim indoctrinator who is literally schooled by a Spanish university how to convert others to Islam.
Unreal.
Really horrible individual. So there was a debate recently between him and Isabel Peralta, who is openly National Socialist, by the way. She's truly our gal. I covered that, the debate last time.
Oh, that's a great point. I wanted to get to that. We'll do it in the weeks ahead. And your shows are really enjoyable. And again, Tony Interest is on FTJ. You can donate to him there. And the nice thing about Dave Gahari's generosity is when you donate at FTJ, the hosts get 97% of the money. The 3% just covers the processing charge. So Dave is a good man. So let's go finally to the brilliant Psychedrilla. Psychedrilla, tell everybody how they can follow your shows. You've been doing a lot of shows lately.
Right. Well, I'm one of these guys who I'm doing at the moment. I'm doing the full Anglo-Saxon breakfast show, even though I'm not a full Anglo-Saxon. I'm a Rhodesian in disguise, though. I'm a Rhodesian in disguise. And what is my show? My show is it's an early morning. Well, it's a breakfast show. Starts at 8 a.m. UK time, and it's 4 hours of. I have a number of characteristics. Sometimes Spurgo Driller's the DJ. Sometimes there's the weeping boy who everybody's ashamed of. He gets a go. Sometimes I'm doing the music. There's a few rants every now and again. Sometimes I do topical. It's a bit of an ad lib show. You can find it's regularly on Odyssey, FTJ, White Pilled, and GTV. So it's a platform where I'm on all the platforms because I want to talk to all of the audience. It's all about unity at every opportunity. It's a show that I like to imagine that most people who are listening to it are doing some work or something like that, and just not really. It's not much. I wouldn't call it highbrow. It's more an entertainment, something light just to get you through your mornings. In the autumn and winter, I do the Rhodesian Rant, which is an evening show, prime time, and it's basically the same thing. But what I like to do is I'm all about promoting our folks' content. If you're new to this, if you want to be promoted, you can find me on Flood Social, Telegram. There's usually links in the description of my streams. You can DM me, send me your content. I will promote the heck out of you. And if you're in real dire straits, anything like that, I do enjoy doing sponsorships, to rally the troops, because we have no NGOs. These platforms are the non-government organizations for our folks. So if you want to help out the crew by making some content and being promoted and then hopefully making a big channel for yourself, I'm your man. That's what it's about, really. I'm not really for the noobs, and I've got a weird sense of humor most of the time. So take it as you find it.
Awesome. What a great show. Thank you, fellas. I want to just thank the donations today. $10 from Klasha. Thank you so much. $10 from Rune Nigger. Very generous. Thank you, Rune Nigger. Stevel 2666. Thank you, Stevel. Very generous. $20 from Always Honest. Incredibly generous. And 1488 from Bushmaster 6A. Thank you so much. You guys have been very generous today. Really appreciate it. And don't forget, FTJ, all these savvy, lucid, insightful gentlemen are regularly doing shows on FTJ. That's the platform you want to watch them on and donate, because they get the most money from it. And the content will never be taken down. So I hope everybody has a great weekend. If you're this is your holiday, hopefully you enjoy it and tune in Monday. The great Alfred Schaefer really, really enjoyed coming on Based Monday. So he's joining us again. Davis Lerman, Statutory Paul, and myself and Alfred will be doing it again this Monday. So don't forget to tune in to Zach in about an hour and Psychedrilla just about every day, and Tonitris Sunday night. So hopefully you have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. God bless everybody.
Thanks for having me.